Do you have a child or children with attitude?
No.
If someone were to tell you you can see a visible change in your child's behaviour, attitude and character in just 5 days, what would you say?
Nah.
Now you might very well say, great, have them back to me next week, so. But seriously, you don't have to watch reality TV programmes to know that you're not alone. Many parents are struggling and ready to try just about anything to get their children to behave. If you're one of them, you'll want to stay tuned for today's discussion on how to have a new kid by Friday on today's edition of Family.ie. Here's Stephen Cardy.
If you allow your child to carry on and misbehave, you raise an irresponsible adult. And that is not good for the child, and it's not respecting the child properly. And that's why parenting must be firm and must be, if you like, robust and resolute. Because if you fail to tackle the misbehavior of your child, and your child becomes a sort of a misbehaving individual in their tween years, that's, you know, in the sort of 8 to 12 year old age group, when they're a teenager, it'll be a very difficult journey, Anna. It's difficult enough as it is,
yeah,
where there is respect, but where there's disrespect, it's much more difficult. And then they go out into adulthood, and maybe they're abusive to their boss, or, you know, they're not respectful to their peers. And maybe what happens if a boy doesn't respect girls, for example? And what happens if he gets a wife? Will he respect his wife? No. Mm-hmm. You know, so a parent has the responsibility to raise responsible men and women.
And you're very welcome to today's programme. I'm Ronan Johnston, and this is the first in a series of 5 programmes based on the book Have a New Kid by Friday: How to Change Your Child's Attitude, Behaviour and Character in 5 Days by Dr. Kevin Lehman. Stephen Cardy and Heather Walsh were joined by Anna Daly to discuss everything from rolling eyes, sibling rivalry, to talking back and much, much more. Here's Stephen Cardy to start us off.
For a child, very early in their life, they're entirely dependent on their parents, and therefore the relationship between the child and the parent from the very get-go is all about the child's needs and serving the needs of the child and helping them out and addressing what their needs and wants are and looking after them. And any mother and father will understand this. Mm-hmm. But what Dr. Lehman has been talking about is developing children into great adults and making them responsible people. And that takes, as you and I know, about 20 years, Anna.
Yep.
So while we'll talk about, you know, some specific issues based on the advice and the practical and sensible advice that Dr. Lehman lays out in his book Have a New Kid by Friday about great parenting,
mm-hmm.
We're going to deal with some of the specific issues that are guaranteed to come up, because in the beginning, in a child's life, it's all about me, and a child is profoundly selfish, although they're unaware of it. And
yeah,
they're entirely dependent on their parents. But as time goes on, they become more independent. And, you know, they learn to talk and they can get around themselves and so on. And from then on, you've got the journey from then till they leave home of training them up and teaching them responsibility. And hopefully on our first subject that we're talking about this morning, Anna, is about selfishness and how does a parent tackle selfishness. That what a parent is endeavouring to do during the course of the child's lifetime as they become an adult is to teach them to be selfless rather than selfish. Parents have the responsibility, in a sense, to teach this to their children, because the culture is primarily a selfish culture and it leads them in that direction, doesn't it, Heather? And, you know, this is what's happening today, is our culture is leading our children to be more and more selfish. Isn't that true?
Absolutely. There's so few opportunities. That's not true. There are many opportunities for people to show unselfishness, but there are so many opportunities where people just can be so selfish so easily. You've got your own phone, you've got your own car, you've got your own bike, you've got your own everything, and you can create your own little world with Mary on the throne as the king or the queen of that little world, and everybody has to bow to their wishes. And that is becoming more and more prevalent in our society, that everybody's on the throne of their own little lives, expecting everyone else will be their minions and do as they wish. And of course, that's destined to be disastrous, because if you have 5 people living in the one house, all on the throne of their lives, expecting the other 4 to run around in circles, there's going to be ructions. It's just never going to work. It's why kingdoms are made up of only one king and everybody else. But in your family, there's no room for everybody to be their own king of their lives. I mean, we shouldn't be the king in our lives anyway if we're following God, but that's another story. So I think if we can start from the beginning teaching our children from the very get-go that life is not all about them, they are very special, very precious, and very important, and God loves them utterly, and we do as parents too, but life is not all about them. And I think if we start from the very beginning and train them that they've brothers and sisters, if they have, who also have needs, and if they don't have brothers and sisters, wise parents will bring them into connection and relationship with other children so they can learn to share. Mm-hmm. Sharing is caring. It's just this little phrase that you hear in preschool. Sharing is caring. And you know, it really is. Sharing is caring. And when you stop that, or you don't develop that nature, that means other people are important, your world becomes very small and very introverted. Yeah. It's not a healthy way to be.
And I suppose we can all think of examples of that self-centeredness in children and adults alike. But when we see it in our own kids, it can be very frustrating to try and correct. There's a lot more practical advice on the way, though, so I hope you'll keep it tuned right here for more. By the way, if you have any questions or comments at any time, feel free to email us info@family.ie. That's info@family.ie. And stay with us for more on how to have a new kid by Friday on today's edition of family.ie. Here's Dr. Kevin Lehman from his Have a New Kid by Friday series with a bit of practical and maybe unorthodox advice for parents of small children.
If you're married and you've got little ankle biters, 5, 6, 7, 3, 4, 5 years of age, find a room in your house and just kiss, make out, just slobber up some good words, okay? What do the kids do? They come in from left to right field, and they come in like little torpedoes, and they come right up between you. Why? Because children are the enemy, that's why. No. They do that because kids get comfort, emotional comfort, by knowing that what? Mommy and daddy are together.
Welcome once again to family.ie. This is the first in a 5-part series based on the book by Dr. Kevin Lehman, Have a New Kid by Friday. You don't have to spend much time with children to realize that selfishness comes quite naturally from a very early age. But helping kids think of others takes quite a bit of work. Now back to today's discussion with Stephen, Heather and Anna.
Do you have some practical advice for parents in how they can kind of, I suppose, show children in a visual sense of how to be selfless?
Well, for me, it's all about communication, because we come back to this every week, don't we, Anna?
Yep.
Communication is the key. And it's hard to take your kids away from the screen these days. They're glued to every screen you know. Yeah. And I would say that one simple way is to watch, if you're watching television, if you're watching, I don't know what the kids watch nowadays, Glee and all this kind of stuff. If you're watching that with them as a parent, you're a wise parent. If you're letting them watch, you need to watch too, so you know what they're learning about. Mm-hmm. And I used to, when my kids were small, when my girls were small, I used to watch. And at the end of the program, or even sometimes in the middle, I'd say, what do you think about what that kid's done? And make a teachable moment out of it.
Yeah.
Because you can guarantee they're not going to see good examples on the screen. Because great telly isn't made up of unselfish people being kind to everybody. So they're actually going to see the worst of the worst on that screen. Make a teachable moment out of it. Instead of fighting with your kids about watching it, use it to make what I call a teachable moment. Find the slot that you know you can relate to and say, what do you think about what those kids did there? Or what do you think about how that child responded to that request or whatever? And get them talking about it and let them prove to themselves that was really mean or really selfish or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they will begin to see it then in their own society. And once you see something, once you have your eyes opened, that's why the scripture talks about opening our eyes, our spiritual eyes. Once we have our eyes opened, we will see also our own hearts and we will begin to see what's in our own lives.
Mm-hmm. It's also useful, I think, to add to that, if I may, Anna, just that if parents are giving, you know, to those who are needy, it can teach the child not to be so selfish about themselves and what I can have and what I can get. And if they see the parent demonstrating that, like, I mean, there are great organizations, for example, like World Vision, which sponsors a child in a third world country, or where a child can be a pen pal of another child, maybe their own age, in a third world country where that child is very poor. We do this, and our children have realized we're supporting a child in Albania, you know, where they don't have very much. And our children have realized, gosh, you know, how fortunate we are to have the things that we have when they see what Keziana has over there. You know, it's a totally different world. Or parents can be involved in, you know, a soup kitchen or helping others in need.
And I suppose that's it, really. It's it is important that we allow our children to see those sides of our lives, that when we do give, that they can see what we do and, you know, model that behaviour for them.
I just want to say that there are plenty of opportunities. Schools are very open to the whole charity thing these days, and kids are being encouraged to give. And I think that's a really great way. If there's an event or something that your child is running or part of, think about the 10% to charity idea. You know, just that's another way. I know my son used to be involved in the school's entrepreneurs system thing. I can't remember the name of it now. And whenever he made his money, he would always give the 10% to charity. And I think that makes them, you know, really understand this is their money and they're giving something to somebody else.
So give us some advice on the whole area of children ignoring their parents.
If a child is ignoring a parent, that's a disrespectful attitude. And we'll come to this in a lot of the other things that we deal with on the specific issues, is that if there's a lack of respect between parent and child, that is a problem. And that problem needs to be addressed. It can't be ignored, because let's say the child starts ignoring the parent and the parent starts ignoring the child. Well, what happens? That's not responsible parenting. And that relationship is destined to break down and it's going to cause problems. And that needs to be repaired. And if the child is in a power play with their parents, where they decide that they're not going to pay attention to their parents, I mean, that's not good enough. Mm-hmm. And that's not good enough from a parent's point of view to allow that to continue. So the parent needs to address that power play by the child, by not allowing the child to win the struggle, if you like, because the child, much more than so than the child may realize, the child is very dependent on the parent.
Yeah.
And therefore, a lot of the cards, if you like, are in the hands of the parent.
Mm-hmm.
So, as Dr. Lehman says, if the child starts ignoring the parent, and let's say there's something going on and the child is not paying attention, then the parent needs to sort of take a stand, not get into a sort of a power struggle and an argy-bargy wrangle and a verbal brawl with their child. But as he said, which so often works, you say it once, you turn your back and walk away and expect what you said to be done. That principle of the parent taking responsibility and taking control and charge in that situation, in that if they're being ignored by the child and the child doesn't do what they've been told to do by their parent or whatever it may be, then the parent takes charge in that situation. And as Dr. Lehman said before, B doesn't happen until A is finished.
Yeah.
So, you know, the child will come along when they want to and they say, right, are we ready to go down to the Gaelic football match? And the answer to that is
no.
No, we're not going.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if the parent puts themselves at the mercy, if you like, of the misbehavior of the child, because the natural orientation, as we said already, of children is to be selfish. And hopefully as they grow up, we're teaching them to be less and less selfish and to be responsible.
Mm-hmm.
So as they grow up, we teach them that they've got to be responsible. Ignoring your parents and not having respect for your parents is not acceptable.
Much easier said than done, that for sure. We'll be back in just a moment with some more practical suggestions on how parents and grandparents can deal with disrespect. Don't forget that our website is full of many helpful resources, many of them free, that can help you and your family thrive. So be sure to stop by www.family.ie. That's family.ie. You're listening to family.ie, and we hope you'll stay with us for the final segment of today's programme. This is family.ie. Thanks again for tuning in. On this series, as we're dealing with practical ways parents and caregivers can help reverse negative behaviour of kids in their care, we need to say that we understand that every family is different and the challenges are many, particularly for blended families. Here's Dr. Kevin Lehman once again.
There's people watching us who are in blended families. They don't blend, they collide. But you better be shoulder to shoulder in that marriage, or I'll tell you, those kids are going to bury you. They've already been hurt once. So they need the reassurance that this love is for good.
Great advice. And no matter what your family situation, it is indeed a process, isn't it? Now, back to our discussion based on the book by Dr. Kevin Lehman, Have a New Kid by Friday.
Heather was mentioning earlier, you know, on the televisions, we see it an awful lot in programs that we see on TV, children talking back to their parents. And, you know, to a huge extent, much more in this generation maybe than in our generation, certainly. How would we address that?
The talking back suggests, and probably hopefully temporarily demonstrates, a lack of respect from the child towards the parent. And when there's a lack of respect, then it's likely to lead to a poor relationship. And when there's a poor relationship, you're into conflict, and the likelihood is that you're going to be in trouble in that relationship between the child and the parent, and you won't develop a responsible adult as a result.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the challenge for parents who are being treated disrespectfully with a lot of back chatter and so on by their kids is that they must back away from there and not get into the argy-bargy, you know, because it is just so easy to get into it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And, you know, if your child talks back to you and argues with you about something, and to you the issue is so simple and blindingly obvious, and to them they have a different view and they want to argue about it, and this can give rise to people losing their temper and voices being raised and so on.
Yeah.
And if that becomes the pattern of the relationship, that's not a good outcome. So what Dr. Lehman is saying is, look, step back from there. You know, leave a bit of space and time for, let's say, emotions to cool. Your child will come back to you. You know, as long as you're treated disrespectfully, then the benefits, if you like, that go with being in this family, which requires respect for each other to be part of the normal functioning of the family, well, as long as you're treated disrespectfully, well, then you won't get the privileges, if you like, and benefits that go with the family, like being driven to the things you want to go to. I'll pay for your guitar lessons, I'll pay for your soccer club, I'll pay for the other things that you do, and I'll drive you around and so on. Those benefits are suspended as
yeah.
long as disrespect is in play and not redressed. So, you know, a child, in a sense, needs to come back and say, look, I'm sorry. And with a powerful or manipulative child, Anna, the danger is that, you know, that somebody will come back recognizing, okay, you know, if they're smart, they'll sort of say, well, if I say I'm sorry, Dad will take me off to the match.
Mm-hmm.
But they may not mean it, you know, and if they don't mean it, and it's obvious that it's a contrived apology, then I would say, look, the thing to do is to say, okay, I accept your apology, I appreciate it, but we're still not going to the match.
Yeah.
Because the child needs to understand that the parent has the responsibility for parenting, and the child is learning from the parent how to be respectful. And if you allow your child to carry on and misbehave, you raise an irresponsible adult.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not good for the child, and it's not respecting the child properly. And that's why parenting must be firm and must be, if you like, robust and resolute, because if you fail to tackle the misbehavior of your child, and your child becomes a sort of a misbehaving individual in their tween years, that's, you know, in the sort of 8 to 12 year old age group, when they're a teenager, it'll be a very difficult journey, Anna. It's difficult enough as it is,
yeah.
where there is respect, but where there's disrespect, it's much more difficult. And then they go out into adulthood, and maybe they're abusive to their boss, or, you know, they're not respectful to their peers. And maybe what happens if a boy doesn't respect girls, for example? And what happens if he gets a wife? Will he respect his wife? No.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so a parent has the responsibility to raise responsible men and women. And, you know, if they allow disrespect and talking back and this sort of stuff to go on in the home and it's not challenged, then they're not doing their job as a parent properly.
I think Heather, Stephen made a very good observation there that as a parent, sometimes we can be drawn into these arguments and, you know, maybe the mom is at home cooking the dinner and the daughter might come in to ask about maybe something as simple as wanting to dye her hair or, you know, something like that. It starts as a discussion, but before the mom knows it, because she's busy and she's occupied, it's turned into an argument. And I think many parents can probably really acknowledge that's the kind of way it happens. They don't start out wanting to argue, but it turns into an argument.
Well, Anna, I'm sure Stephen would want me to say that Stephen and I and yourself would like to make it very clear to the listeners that none of these things ever happen in our house.
Yeah.
We have no experience of any of these things. And, you know, like, the reality is that's the stuff of life.
Yeah.
Kids are smart. They're not going to choose the perfect moment
mm-hmm.
because they're not able to choose the perfect moment because they're not inside your head and they don't know when the perfect moment is. But they are smart enough to know that if you're slightly distracted, they stand a better chance of getting a yes answer.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
you have to have your wits about you all the time. And I think, you know, there is a parenting model around today. That's what I call a lazy parent. a parent who's really not actually going to bother with the stress of dealing with it. So just Asher, it's grand. Well, you know, it might be grand today, but we're talking about purposeful parenting mm-hmm. that's building adults for the future. So what's grand today when child is 11 might not be so grand in 10 years' time when they're 21.
Yeah.
And that's why in our parenting, we need to be purposeful and thinking on the longer term. Now, there's no doubt in my parenting I have made many mistakes. And any parent that says they haven't is for the birds, really. Mm-hmm. We have all made huge mistakes. And God is gracious enough to give us wisdom and understanding to repair those things and to do better the next time. But if we don't actually get a grip when children are young, or whenever we become understanding of the situation, if we're lazy parents, we're not going to be able to deal. We're not really doing our children any favors, and we're not going to be able to deal with them when they're older. So, you know, if daughter or son does come in about things like that and you can't deal with it there and then, it's much kinder to say, you know, I hear that. I see what you want to do. I'm just going to finish doing this dinner now, and maybe we could sit down afterwards and have a wee chat about that. So you're not pushing them away. You're not disinterested. You're not giving them any answer. You're saying, I hear that you have an issue here you want to talk about, and I want to take time to talk about it with you. And generally, I find that works quite well.
Mm-hmm.
You can be pressured and pressured. And teenagers are very good at this because they need to know now because they couldn't wait 10 seconds.
Yeah.
You know, it's the instant answer world. I think we need as parents to be smart enough to say, I need time to think about that. I'll make an appointment, the same as you would with somebody that wasn't in your family. You'd have to make an appointment to talk out an issue. Make an appointment with your child. Let them see it's important enough for you to put aside some time to talk about it. And you might get beyond this instant answer demand and the pressure of giving in to something that you know in your heart you don't really want to do, but you haven't time or the inclination or the space in your head to deal with it at that moment.
That's a good word from Heather. We hope you've been encouraged by the advice on how to have a new kid by Friday, but keep in mind that today we've only covered the action plan for the Monday. Here's Kevin Lehman to echo that word of warning.
And see, the temptation on this Monday session, okay, is to go home and say, all right, everybody listen up. We are going to have a new family starting tomorrow at 0800. Don't do that. This is just Monday. We're talking Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, fun day. We got a lot to go yet. This is just Monday.
Yeah, I reckon we should pace ourselves. The kids probably are in no hurry to change their behavior just yet either. You've been listening to the first of our five-part series based on the book Have a New Kid by Friday, How to Change Your Child's Attitude, Behavior, and Character in 5 Days by internationally recognized family expert Dr. Kevin Lehman. For more information on the book, copies of this audio series, and more resources to help you in your family and relationships, including 10 tips for getting out of debt, encouragement for single parents, and this week's marriage tip, we invite you to stop by our website, www.family.ie. And while you're there, make sure you see how you can also follow us on both Facebook and Twitter. Again, that's family.ie. I'm Ronan Johnston, and with thanks to Anna Daly, on behalf of our own Stephen Carty and Heather Walsh, we thank you for listening and invite you back next time for more.
Parents have to address misbehavior in their child from time to time. That does cause conflict, so they won't like you. And you've got to accept that as a parent. But you get over that. And in the end, the children are thankful that their parents actually stood up for something that was worthwhile. And as they grow up and become responsible adults, they'll appreciate that as they grow older.
That's next time. And until then, slán tamad. Thank you for listening to family.ie. Families strengthening families. Yeah.